Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The private sector is doing fine.
That may not be what President Obama really meant to say at his Friday news conference, or reflect his true feelings or policies, but it certainly was artless and dominated the political coverage over the weekend. It also led to Mitt Romney's own artless retort that got him rebuked a bit by none other than the conquering Republican hero of the week, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. We'll play that. But let's take a closer listen to a few of these Obama clips. Here is a longer version. This is what we like to do, as you know, for context. A longer version of the president. That was a two-second clip. That's the one that's been in the media. This is a 44-second clip, which includes the words before and after the private sector's doing fine.
As I said, we've created 4.3 million jobs over the last 27 months. Over 800,000 just this year alone. The private sector is doing fine. Where we're seeing weaknesses in our economy have to do with state and local government, oftentimes cuts initiated by governors or mayors who are not getting the kind of help that they have in the past from the federal government and who don't have the same kind of flexibility as the federal government in dealing with fewer revenues coming in.
So more context for the president's remark from his Friday news conference. And he also called for stimulus to fight the public sector unemployment problem by giving aid to states and localities to retain specifically teachers and firefighters and police officers.
Keep in mind that the private sector has been hiring at a solid pace over the last 27 months. But one of the biggest weaknesses has been state and local governments, which have laid off 450,000 Americans. These are teachers and cops and firefighters. Congress should pass a bill putting them back to work right now, giving help to the states so that those layoffs are not occurring.
So, again, more context of what the president was really trying to get at from his Friday news conference. And on that note, let's bring in Elizabeth Williamson, D.C. reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome back to WNYC. I'm not hearing Elizabeth yet. Now we got you. Elizabeth, hi.
Hey, good morning.
So tell me, what was the president trying to do there, and what do you think happened?
Well, broadly, he's trying to get back on the front foot after a miserable week on the jobs front. I mean, that started on June 2nd when the jobs numbers came out, actually on June 1st, and it really showed a dismal increase, 69,000 jobs in May, and an increase in the unemployment rate. And those are two numbers that have just dominated the conversation for the last week. So what he was trying to do was explain the roots of this and where the trouble really lies in the broader economy. And just as we just listened to, he was saying it's in the public sector and among state and municipal governments, whereas you see a modest growth or at least not as miserable a situation in the private sector. You probably should have phrased it a little bit more like that.
I guess so. And when you talk about 69,000 total jobs for last month, it's more than that in the private sector, plus really minus job losses in the public sector at all these state and local levels. But
right.
The president then did something he rarely ever does, because I guess it immediately started to register that the way he used the words, the private sector is doing fine, was going over really badly right away, and gave such an attack line to the Republicans. He answered a shouted question at a different routine White House appearance later Friday afternoon. They don't usually do that. So here was his revised explanation of the original clip.
I think if you look at what I said this morning and what I've been saying consistently over the last year, we've actually seen some good momentum in the private sector.
So, Elizabeth, obviously the president doesn't think the private sector is actually doing fine, but it was a surprisingly bad communication moment for a generally good communicator. And what struck me was that he looked straight ahead and said in a purposeful, resolute, confident tone, the private sector is doing fine. Did your head turn when you first heard it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because here in the newsroom at the Journal, the emails immediately began flying because we're obviously very focused on the economy and you know, more so than maybe some other aspects of the campaign and of this ongoing attempt to firm up the president's reelection bid. So yeah, immediately it was reminiscent of 2008 and John McCain's comment that the fundamentals of the economy are solid, and that immediately got him in hot water. It just underscored that he didn't know much about the economy, that he was not focused on that, that was not his forte, and the Republicans would like nothing better than to say the economy is not the president's forte either.
So instant rewind, taken all together, here are the four things the president said at four different moments on Friday about the private sector economy.
The private sector is doing fine. The private sector has been hiring at a solid pace over the last 27 months. Overall, the private sector has been doing a good job creating jobs.
We've actually seen some good momentum in the private sector.
And so, Elizabeth, it strikes me when you take all those four together, there is kind of a unified campaign message there. Things are moving in the right direction in the private sector. And he overstated it with doing fine, but it was still the direction of the political message that he wanted to convey despite the slow jobs growth, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, the president's issue here is that he has been repeatedly accused of not being able to kind of feel the pain of the average American. So if you are unemployed, long-term unemployed, it is an acutely painful time for you. So every word coming from the administration, you're hanging on because you're not only looking for the president to understand you, also looking for reasons to hope that you'll be employed in the future and that there are some ideas coming out of Washington. So this just seemed tone deaf and discouraging. And, you know, actually, you know, that creates a lot of despair among people who have been looking or whose 99 weeks of unemployment is about to run out.
Elizabeth Williamson, D.C. reporter for The Wall Street Journal. So now comes the pushback in which the Republicans try to make this private sector is doing fine remark a defining campaign moment, like the McCain one you mentioned, like George Bush's Mission Impossible, maybe even Romney's own. I like firing people who provide services to me. The Romney campaign put up an instant commercial juxtaposing Obama's remark with unemployed private sector workers telling their stories of woe. But then the Romney response becomes a problem of its own. He says, we don't need more firefighters and teachers and police officers, equating them with big government. Now, the version of this we'll play, folks, is from the very beginning of CBS Face the Nation yesterday, because something interesting happened there. You will hear the Romney clip, which the host, Bob Schieffer, is playing for Wisconsin's unrecalled governor, Scott Walker, the Republican rock star of the moment after that election last week. And Walker does not fully back up Romney here. So, again, this starts with the Romney clip. Listen.
Instead, he wants to add more to government. He wants another stimulus. He wants to hire more government workers. He says we need more firemen, more policemen, more teachers. Did he not get the message of Wisconsin? The American people did. It's time for us to cut back on government and help the American people.
So there you have it, Governor. Is that the message? Do the American people want fewer cops and fewer firemen and fewer teachers, or was there a different message as you saw it?
Well, I think it's slightly different. I think in our case, what they wanted is people who are willing to take on the tough issues, not only here in Wisconsin, but across the country.
And so Walker then hones the message. He says teachers and firefighters are not what he thinks of as big government.
That's not what I think of when I think of big government. I think of the bigger sense is more government regulations, more stimulus, more things that take money out of the private sector and put it in the hands of the government. That's not the answer out there.
So, Elizabeth Williamson, what happened there?
I think what happened was Romney failed to, as he frequently does, understand the nuance of what individual political players are trying to achieve. And in Wisconsin, what Scott Walker was trying to do is to pit one union against another. I mean, he didn't accept a lot of the demands, or a lot of the concessions, rather, that these public sector unions were putting on the table. What he really wanted to do was to break their ability to collectively bargain, and he succeeded in doing that. At the same same time, he wants other union members to say, you know, well, that was them, and they were making unreasonable demands, and we, members of other private sector unions in particular, are not, that's not us. That's the other guy. They don't want to be in the crosshairs next. So he's doing this very delicate sort of juggling and balance, and he recognizes that he needs the votes of those individuals. I mean, the guy survived the recall, but it wasn't by an amount that was substantial enough to perhaps propel him to reelection. So he's sort of trying to claw back some support from some of the people who are so vehemently against him, and Mitt Romney stepped right on that.
And do you think that Romney steps on his own message by equating big government with cops and firefighters and teachers at the local level, which people tend to want? That's the reason one of the big reasons that property taxes are so high in so many places. People vote to fund their local services for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in particular, teachers. I mean, at a time when you have school classes growing in size because you have fewer and fewer teachers, when schools are offering fewer and fewer extra classes, everybody is worried about the number of teachers. So, yes, this was an example of, I mean, here's the Romney campaign trying to portray the president as being out of touch, while at the same time he's showing how totally out of touch he is with regular folks.
And this is another place where it becomes interesting to me on a policy level, politics aside for the moment. Scott Walker tries to separate local government employees like teachers and firefighters from stimulus, which is big government.
Mm-hmm.
But Obama wants stimulus specifically to keep from firing more teachers and firefighters. So there's a fundamental contradiction there, even in Walker's rhetoric.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was just kind of, you know, in a sense, mau-mauing his way out of it, saying, no, you know, knowing that this would be a campaign hot-button issue, you can't talk about firing policemen, firefighters, and teachers. At the same time, whoa, if you talk about how more government spending on ugly, nebulous behemoths like stimulus, which we all know, once you break stimulus down, you're talking about programs for teachers and firefighters and state and municipal governments. But the word stimulus is the boogeyman that he's trying to put over the plate there.
That's right. And the problem is, for Obama, I guess, that people who work in political journalism understand the connection between the two, but a lot of ordinary folks don't. And there's there's certainly a legitimate policy debate to be had as to whether you want your federal tax dollars to go back to states and municipalities around the country, that Washington decides who gets what and decides who gets to keep how many teachers and cops and firefighters. But that connection between stimulus and those local service employees, I think, gets lost on most of the public.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, instead of arguing over semantics, I think, just as you point out, there could be this more legitimate and interesting and relevant debate over stimulus itself and what the goal is, because there are still some stimulus measures in Congress that are shanghaied and held up because of this fight over the stimulus boogeyman. But arguably, you could say that in the very beginning, one of the reasons we're in this kettle is that in the very beginning, they passed a $787 billion stimulus that really wasn't enough. Not only was it not enough, I mean, the tax shortfalls in these states and municipalities were so enormous they couldn't possibly have been made up by the stimulus, and that money went all into salaries rather than into the projects that it was intended to jumpstart, mm-hmm. roads and school renovations and things like that. So once those projects kind of petered out and that money went towards salaries, the Obama administration also didn't have a lot to promote. They didn't have a lot to put a big sign on and say, this project and these jobs are brought to you by the Obama administration. So it was just sort of kind of weak and misplaced. And, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't help the president because it didn't help the economy in the way that was envisioned.
Elizabeth Williamson, D.C. reporter for The Wall Street Journal. One more thing before you go, and not on the economy, but back to the president's Friday news conference. The other big thing that happened Friday, as you know, was the administration announced it will investigate the leaks to the press about the drone strikes, the Stuxnet cyber attack on Iran, and the president's terrorist kill list, quote unquote. Republicans say these are national security breaches for the sake of making the president look tough in the campaign. Here was the president's response.
the notion that my White House would purposely release classified national security information is offensive. It's wrong. And, you know, people, I think, need to have a better sense of how I approach this office and how the people around me here approach this office.
So he's offended, but he now has an investigation going anyway. What will these U.S. attorneys appointed by Eric Holder after our show on Friday be looking for?
Well, they're going to be looking for individuals, like quote-unquote rogue individuals, who released information before, basically, if you want to know the truth, before the administration was ready to release it.
Huh.
I think that that's, you know, there is a big difference, and I think the president's trying to draw this distinction here between releasing classified national security information, secrets that could endanger the lives of our troops or of Americans themselves, and releases of information that are about to be selective leaks to individual reporters of information that is about to be announced by the administration in a matter of hours.
And
why
would they? I mean, the McCain line has been that there's no other rationale for leaking this information other than to make the president look tough in an election year. Who would these so-called rogues be within the administration? And, you know, people who leak have motivations. What would their motivations be?
Well, I mean, usually in the case of a leak, there's a policy disagreement, perhaps, or someone is talking about, or you've got an individual who, for reasons maybe just of ego, wants to claim a little bit of credit or wants to cement a relationship with an important reporter on the national security beat. I mean, I'm totally speculating here,
mm-hmm.
but you know, knowing the business, obviously, being in it, those are some of the reasons that people leak. They're proud of what they're doing. They want some credit. They want some credit not only for themselves, maybe for their department or their team. So sometimes the reasons, there's nothing nefarious necessarily. There might be something indiscreet or irresponsible about it. You know, there are just huge distinctions here that, of course, this being a campaign and an election year, are being erased. And that's, you know, the distinction between legitimate, dangerous leaks and those that are kind of helpful to a president who can point to national security and foreign policy achievements as some of his greatest achievements mm-hmm. at a time when the economy, coming full circle to what we were talking
yes.
about, is not affording him very much bragging rights.
And, of course, the Republicans hope to taint those achievements, and we'll see if the investigation...
Absolutely, yeah. They're saying that this is self-serving. Well, these achievements are legitimate. So the way in which they release the information about them seems to be what's at issue here.
Elizabeth Williamson, reporter for the D.C. Bureau of the Wall Street Journal. She herself, I'm sure, would never accept a leak from anybody in government, nor publish one if she received one.
Nuh-uh.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up next. We'll talk about the proposed cuts for New York City, not teachers and cops and firefighters, as it happens, but after-school programs, library hours, and some firehouses as the July 1st city budget deadline nears. Stay with us.